Good day, and welcome to the CTT third quarter 2016 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francisco Della Cerda. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon to all. Thank you for attending. I'll go, as usually, quickly through the presentation together with Andrea Costa, the CFO, and then we'll open for Q&A. In page four, the highlights, what we see is that the EBITDA, excluding the bank, declines only 12.3% to reflect in the 9 months, reflecting the 11.9% increase in the third quarter. This is mainly driven by the recovery in financial services that was expected for the reasons that we very much commented on the last conference call and before. What we can see in the net-net is that the net profit was down 9%, including the bank, but excluding the bank, up 11%. We have a positive increase in the reported net profit if we exclude the bank. Nevertheless, we have a decline in addressed mail items to 3.1%, which is in the better part of our range, but nevertheless worse than in the 6 months. We have the other operational figures there, but we'll come back to that later on. Going to page five, what we see here is that the revenues was influenced in mail by the mix effect that continued in the third quarter, coming already from the previous quarters. The restructuring in Spain, that is not new, but nevertheless, the large customers that we have spoke already are not producing, and so the figures are like they are. The financial services, which although as the year goes by, the effect is fading away. Nevertheless, the skewed January 2015 is still affecting the comparison, as you can see. All in all, what we have is a decline in revenues of 3.6%, more towards Express and Parcels and financial services, and less to mail and other of 2.3%. In page six, going to costs, efficiency measures drive a 4.4% reduction, excluding Bank CTT, which is again, we consider a proof of the way we are able to manage the cost side. Excluding bank, costs decrease more than revenues, and so the jaws are on the right direction. You can see that we have savings both in staff and external supplies and services. On the staff side, they come from, of course, the effect of accrual of the variable pay. When performance is not going exactly as we wanted, also the cost impact is lower. The full impact of the revised company agreement, the one that we did in early 2015, which from July onwards has produced all its full impact. The decline in Interline staff costs that we made after the collective layoff in middle last year, and smaller things that are there mentioned. Although the savings that we have got are important and an interesting evolution, nevertheless, of course, they are not enough to absorb the Banco CTT recurring costs, which are the normal costs of a new venture that is in this year going through its early beginnings. In page seven, in terms of EBITDA, we have double-digit growth in third quarter 2016, recurring EBITDA excluding bank. That supports a small decline in the 9 months. We see mail going up 1.6%, Express and parcels, I don't think the percentage is very meaningful, but also going up to 2.9 million euros, and financial services still below last year, but as I said, fading away the difference as long as the year goes on because of the usual, the thing that we commented already. And in page 8, we gave an updated outlook, and we decided not to change it, but to comment on the way it could proceed. The addressed mail volume decline, we expected at this far in the year to be closer to the 3% than to the 5%, but within the range. But the continued negative mix effect coming from the registered mail volume decline being bigger than the average makes the flat revenues guidance difficult to achieve. Revenue generation initiatives in financial services because of payments and in express and parcels, the modular offer, are underway already in Portugal and Spain, but will have limited impact this year. Banco CTT is focused on client acquisitions this year, as it should be, as all new bank projects should be, in order to begin the monetization of the client base, a second stage, is through an expansion of its product offer. We launched already consumer credit a month ago, or we relaunch, but within the bank framework, and mortgage loans is well underway to be launched on the change of the year, probably in January next year. Operating costs and EBITDA, what we can say is that the recurring operating costs decline as a result of efficiency measures has enabled us to partially absorb Bank CTT costs and decline in revenues. The full year 16 recurring EBITDA guidance remains challenging, but resilient third quarter 16 performance provides a strong base for what we are trying to achieve in the full second half of this year. In terms of earnings and dividend, we reaffirm the dividend policy, as we always said that we would do. And on top of the cash that we are generating, we have the strong liquidity position. And so we are comfortable to say that the board is confident that it will be able to propose a minimum dividend of 48 cents per share for the financial year, 2.1% increase over the 47 cents of last year. And this, of course, payable after the AGM in early 2017. And now I pass to Andrea to go from slide 10.
Going to slide 10, commenting on our cash flow position. Basically, we, in order to give a more clarity on the cash flow of the group, we separate the figures that are related with Banco CTT. Basically, the cash flow generated by the bank, you need to bear in mind that is cash flow that can only be invested in Banco CTT activities or in the banking activity. The rest is the cash flow of CTT. And basically, going to this 9 months performance in terms of cash flow, we still have in the 9 months the effect of paying the dividend in the first half and the variable remuneration to the employees not being compensated yet by the net profit of the year. Also, regarding the current recurring activities, we have the CapEx payments and also a working capital variation of or increase of 22 million. Basically, we set some conditions or with some of our suppliers who anticipated some payments in order to have some advantages in a moment where the cost of cash it's not relevant. So we got some financial benefits anticipating some payments in order, and we paid anticipated the we did the anticipation of the payments. And then you have two impacts which is related with some revenues that are accounted in our balance sheet, the one from Altice and the VAT, which doesn't reflect in cash, but they are accounting revenues because the cash was already received apart last year and the other one will be received later in the year. and the vacant lease termination contract. As you recall, we got a benefit, accounting benefit by doing a payment of 6 million upfront, which will enable us to save 9 million for the next years, which is a very positive impact. Last but not least, we have the impact of the healthcare payments, the cash payment of the healthcare for the staff that is working and for the staff that is not working. Last, we have the Banco CTT cash flow, which is the cash flow, as I explained, it is inside of Banco CTT balance sheet or accounting, so it's only, it can only be used for Banco CTT activities. On the next slide, we see the present image of our balance sheet, which the main difference you see from last year and from the 6 months numbers is the growth in the numbers related with the bank. On financial services and Banco CTT deposits, which is growing the number here, 68%, and on the other non-current assets and other current assets is also influenced by the bank, Banco CTT activity. On the right side, you see the net financial debt, which you see that net financial debt of CTT is 270 million euros of cash, of which if you take out the employee benefits and the other things that you should account to see the cash position of, or the cash or the debt position of CTT, taking all the liabilities, namely taking out the cash flow or the cash position of the bank, you see that we have a small debt position of 14 million euros. We continue to have a strong liquidity position of above 100%. Basically, I would just like to comment is that we have been mentioning in previous periods that we are considering optimization measures for the balance sheet. The one that we are pursuing now, or the one that we are pursuing, which more relevant impact in our balance sheet would be to transfer part or the full amount of the employee benefits, which is the healthcare responsibilities for the after work of our employees. We are considering the possibility of transferring it for a fund, which will mean that will generate an impact on our balance sheet, increasing for the next years our cash flow generation, but also increasing our cash in the balance sheet in terms of accounting terms. Basically, the status quo of this project, we are taking all the steps in order to have the final decision taken by the board by this last quarter of the year, in order to be able to enact or to put in place this fund by year-end if we decided to go ahead. It's still too soon to have a clear picture if we are going to create or not the fund, but we are taking all the steps in order to take the final decision during the next 2 months. I wouldn't go to the next two slides. They are just detail over our accounts. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to go in detail. We can go if there is any Q&A about that. Now I'll pass to Francisco to do an update on our strategy and a fine-tuning on our strategy.
We felt that it would be interesting, a year after we had our Capital Markets Day, and we went more deeply into strategy to fine-tune some of the things and give some background, because some people started to follow us more recently. We identified basically three things that should be highlighted at this stage. One, about commercial excellence. We are now redoing the way we approach our commercial activities in general, and I'll comment on that, the operational efficiency and the bank itself. Going to slide 16, and zooming in on the Express and Parcels area, the first thing I would like to mention is that the market as a whole in Portugal is divided around 50% domestic and 50, so Portugal to Portugal, and 50% cross-border. These are data coming from market research that we did a few months ago. And of the 100% of the market, around 75% is B2B still, and the remaining 25% of B2C, 10% are the traditional B2C, so the ones that are the old direct mail type of approach, and the B2C driven by the e-commerce is 15% of the total. The evolution of these three parts of the market is very different. So the B2C traditional is declining, the B2B is growing, but more or less with more than the economy, but we are talking about 2% or 2.something% growth. And the B2C e-commerce is the one that is growing double digit, low double digit. This to give you the data that enable that when we think and comment on the figures that we see, these effects are each of them affecting the total result. And so we are enjoying the growth in e-commerce, but nevertheless, as it's a small part of the total, the global figures are affected by this, but not as much as all of us would like to. In terms of what we are doing and some of the things is just recapping, the others maybe are not so old. The launch of the new model Express and Parcels offer, it's done. Clients are already using it and they are giving good reviews, but it's the early beginnings. By year end, I think we can comment more on that. The PUDO convenience that we are having, but from time to time we are adjusting and changing the provider. Nevertheless, we have a target to have the number of convenient PUDOs and some automatic even things that enable convenience to grow for our customers. And the new e-commerce domestic initiatives, the e-commerce in a box project that we have been talking from time to time, that is still yet to start. On the cross-border, we are connected with the European postal operators by the EPC Interconnect program. Commercial offer already launched. We are starting to sell that to our customers. We are entering more in the international flows, trying to capture flows from Asia and other parts using different tools for that. And in the B2B side, we are already operating in developing specialized products to address the different verticals. And so all in all, just to show that we have different projects, but all of them are addressed to increase the proportion of flow of parcels that we are able to make going through our system. And so putting us as a part of the value chain of these different types of approach is not a single one, is not a simple one, but we have to be in the cross border. By the way, just to mention that the cross border in Portugal, about one third comes from Spain. And so the Spain to Portugal and Portugal to Spain, but especially in the flow of Spain to Portugal, it's an important part of it comes from Spain. And so the origination in Spain is an important thing for any major player in Portugal. In terms of Spain, we can go more into that later on if you want, but nevertheless, just to highlight that we are continuing to turn it around, and some effects are already being felt in the profitability of the company. We saw also the decline in revenues that comes out of that. I'm confident that in the near future, we will be able to announce things that will change that evolution to, again, grow in terms of volumes and in terms of contribution to the profitability. And we are always looking to the market and see also if in the consolidation of the market there are things that we can play in. The second issue is in terms of efficiency. Just to remind on the left side of of the page all the things that we have been doing and which effects are already incorporated in our figures. And on the right hand thing, three different initiatives that are very technical and specialized. Nevertheless, they can have 2.5 million per euros per year of additional savings when we conclude them. And we are doing other small things. I remind to the ones that have been discussing this with us for longer, the CTT cost-saving DNA and the different nuts and bolts that we are always trying to optimize in all the system that we operate, and then in the end enable us to continuously and systematically being able to show good performance in terms of costs. And going to page 18 on the bank, two or three notes. Number one, the bank is entering the market in a very successful way. We are very happy with the success that we are having with the bank. It starts by preparing the infrastructure, IT systems, and the mobile and internet banking capacities that are state of the art. Then the change in the branches of CTT and the rollout of all that. We are now at the end of October at the level of 137, and we will be 200 until the end of this year, as we said we would be. It started late March, about 100 at the end of the first half, and now on the process to go to 200. And after these 200, with what we are seeing in terms of acceptance of digital and internet capacity, in terms of the evolution of the other retail banks, we will continue to open branches, but probably in the end of the process, we'll have a picture where we will be slower than we anticipated from now on, and arriving to a end number lower than what we would have expected 2 years ago. And this is not because of our own success, on the contrary, it's because of what is happening around us and on the customer preferences or even the consumer preferences that we are incorporating into our system. And this is derives exactly from the flexibility and our capacity of adapt, because we don't have bulky structures that we have to live with. We are flexible, we have a light bank, modern in IT systems, and so we can adapt to what the consumers and the customers are telling us. In terms of the digital channels, so first, we have 45,000 accounts by September. This means around 60,000 customers, because there are several accounts with more than one customer. The pace of opening continues to be fast. I will not give the figure of end of October, but just to say that the pace is fast, and so we anticipate a very interesting number by the end of this year. When we measure the profile of our customers, we see a younger than expected customer base and with strong digital engagement. And so we are attracting people, let's say of their 40s, that are, of course all this is compared with the average of the market. So when I say we are attracting more, this is not that we are concentrating there, is that we have all type of ages, all type of customers, but the proportion in our portfolio compared with the proportion of the average of market is more on this profile that I'm mentioning. And so the digital web and mobile presence that we wanted to have since day one proved to be a good bet, because it's producing its results. We believe that we can continue to increase market acceptance, attracting clients based on the capillarity, on the strong brand, which is a very important and trusted brand, which is, and now it's proved again, a very important asset, and widening the product offer as we have been doing. And the main investments will continue to be in IT systems and digital channel. The product strategy, so we started with simple deposits, with the customer acquisition offer, all aligned with the bank's principles of simplicity and value for money. We are preparing, in the final stages of preparing, mortgage operational and risk frameworks, We have already a partnership with ZLM for consumer loans and credit cards, but we made some changes on the way we operate in the branding of the products, in the economics for us of the agreement, and we relaunched strongly that in September, already within the bank framework, so with a different capacity of selling loans than we have before. We also are about to launch the healthcare insurance with a partnership that we have signed, and we believe that that will also increase the flow of commissions in interesting levels. So next steps, it's the go live of the mortgage, the launch of the life and property insurance to support the mortgage business. We will continue to pursue alternative applications for deposits, even with potential acquisition of asset portfolios if good opportunities are on the market. We have been saying that for quite a while. Until now, we have not been able to conclude anything that would be worthwhile, but it might happen. And, of course, when we build the relationship with the customer, first we have to open the account, then we sell some products, and then you start actively to increase deepening the relationship and increasing the transactionality and the cross-selling of these different products. And that's where we are. Andrea, the last slide, please.
I'll go throughout the performance of each business unit. First, going to mail. The first point I would like to mention when we go to mail, if you see the revenues went down 3.2%. The main effect continues to be the mix effect that we see in transactional mail, which is continuing to affect the revenues, and it's a big part of the revenues of the mail business, by 3.1% on the 9 months. On the others, as we told you in the end of the first half of the year, is that the other will continue to improve along the year because it's the utilization of our network of the mail, which is the retail network and the distribution network, by retail network, by the financial services and bank, in Banco CTT, and on the distribution network being used more and more by an express and parcel business, which means that it's revenues that are going also into the business of the mail because it's the scalability of our two networks being used for the other business. Just commenting on the advertising, although it's falling down on the 9 months, the third quarter performance was positive, which is showing already some positive signs of our strategy regarding the increase of the revenues in the advertising mail, which is part of the strategy that we comment on the end of the first half of the year. Regarding the performance of this business unit, the most important point I would like to mention is the ability to adjust the costs to the revenues, which means that we got a 3.2 decline on the revenue, but we were able, using the scalability of the assets and also using, as Francisco mentioned, several initiatives that enable us to be more efficient, we got a 4.2 decline on the recurring operating costs, which meant that at the end of the day, we were able to get an increase on the EBITDA of the mail business unit and an EBITDA margin of 18.6%. If we go to page 21, regarding the express and parcels, we still continue to suffer in Spain from the strategy that we are pursuing from taking out some customers and now putting in customers with their cost to serve more adjusted to our business model and to our structure in Spain. In Portugal, we are still suffering from the items that we mentioned in the first half of the year. Along the year, we expect to continue to recover, and with the launch of a modular offer, to have already positive results by the year end. As Francisco mentioned, it will not be yet sufficient to compensate, namely the decline on mail, but will start to show some results. But in this business unit, the scale and the utilization of our assets in order to pursue and to provide the services of Express and Parcel enable us to have also a reduction in the recurring operating costs in the Express and Parcel business more than the decline that we got in the revenues. This is important to say two things. First of all, the utilization of the distribution network of the Mail to provide services to the Express and Parcel business in Portugal, taking advantage of our economies of scale. And in Spain, the process that we did last year during the collective layoff of people and also other initiatives to adjust more our cost base in Spain enable us nowadays to have a decline on the cost base higher than the revenues, and with that we got an increase on the profitability of the Express and Parcel business, which went down almost the double, but more than that, starting to go on the right direction that we want to achieve to have a more profitable business in Express and Parcels. If we go to page 22 regarding financial services, as we said since the beginning of the year, we have a tough comparison effect when we do it regarding 2015, basically because the January 2015 will always affect the comparison until we reach the end of the year, when this will be fully mitigated. But as you see here, in saving in insurance, we had at the end of the 6 months almost a 30% decline compared with last year, which is now more or less 13%, which shows that we are mitigating or starting to see the comparison effect going away, which, as we told you, expect to reach the end of the year more or less with the same level in terms of public saving placements that we had last year, so revenues also in the same, more or less in the same line. Regarding the payment, it's also improving in the 9 months compared with last year, compared with the 6 months. We have, all in all, a decline of 7.8 in the revenue side, with also the same effect on the recurring costs, also a more decline in recurring costs that we had in terms of revenues, which enable us to increase the EBITDA margin to 54% and €29 million of recurring EBITDA. I would just mention here, although not yet relevant in terms of revenues, but already starting to show some results in terms of numbers, the credit is growing 35%. As Francisco mentioned, with the launch of the credit offer inside of the bank, the cross-selling between the two networks, the network of financial services, which doesn't have the bank, and the branches which have the bank, all in all, it's enabling us to grow faster in the placement of credit products. In page 23, regarding the bank, first important message to show is that the performance of the bank in terms of investment, recurring operating costs, non-recurring operating costs, and CapEx is in line or even below what we have in our business plan, which is the first important point I would like to mention, is that it's complying, more than complying, but it's complying what we had foreseen. All that together with we have already 106 branches open, and as Francisco said, with the objective to reach the end of the year with 200, 45,000 accounts, which means more or less more than around 60,000 clients, and current deposits of €182 million. We didn't give these figures as the objective, but this is in line, even somewhat better, that we have anticipated. And as Francisco mentioned, the most important point or the KPIs of the development of Banco CTT in 2015 are client acquisition, deposits, and costs control or costs along the budget that we have. All these three metrics are in line what we expected and with the figures that we gave to the market. Next year is the target to launch new products, and we'll give you along the next year, we'll give the information about the launching of the products in order to fulfill our strategy. I think we are all, we can open to Q&A regarding the 9 month results.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this point, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Christopher Combe from JPMorgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just three questions for me. First of all, in the slides, you gave quite a bit of color on the 9 months contribution from your efforts with respect to the remuneration scheme, tour line costs, telephone subscriptions, et cetera, sort of $10 million of cost reduction. Can you give us some help in understanding the bridge in Q4 and how much incremental year-on-year benefit you would expect along with any working capital reversal? And second, do you have any clarity on the rationale behind the government's choice to reduce registered volume earlier in the year and any visibility if that may be reversed? And lastly, with respect to Spain, is the path toward a break-even results clear at this stage, or is it too early to call? And how long would you be willing to sustain the current level of losses before you consider alternatives? Thank you.
Andrea, you do the two first ones, and I'll do the two last ones.
The second one, Christopher, I didn't understand very well. So if you can just detail the second question.
On registered volume?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
So first of all, regarding costs, we cannot give any detail about the bridge for the year end, but as what we can tell you is that several of the initiatives that we put in place in the past, and one of the important ones I would like to mention is the revision of the company agreement during one period, and we presented that in the capital markets day. During some periods, we kept some of the benefits that we took off with the new company agreement. We kept it for a period between 1 6 months and another one went to 18 months, which means that now, at the end of the first half of 2015, all these benefits that were kept went away, and now we are starting to see the the cost savings that we are getting for the company, for the revised company agreement that we did in the beginning of last year. Regarding the variable remuneration policy, as Francisco mentioned, it's based on performance, so, and a lot based on the revenue performance and with the KPIs that we have, since we are below our targets in terms of revenues, it's also adjusted to that fact. Regarding the cost savings that we got in Spain, it's fully related with the operations. If we start selling more, it will go up the cost, but the revenues will go up more than the cost. So nowadays we have the cost base in Spain that we feel that is efficient for the operations we have. Regarding the second point, regarding the government mail or the registered mail, what we can tell you, we do not have any indication about what the government will do or not. What we know is that the government put in place what I mentioned in some meetings I had, is that the government decided to put in place an initiative to do a last opportunity to pay, which means that taxpayers can pay all debts that they have to tax authority by the year end without any major penalties, which means that it can enable a growth on the volumes that they send of mail. If they will do that or not, we don't know. We do not have the clarity on that. Last but not least,
on that point still, what we know is that it started declining in September, October last year. And the reasons that are repeated again and again, and even recently in our normal interchange with the agency, the reasons are related to stopping doing some recovery of past due things that was done and not repeated. And so this effect has to fade away by definition. We don't know if it will happen this quarter that we are living now, but one of these quarters you have to see the effect much smaller than the one that you have seen in the past quarters.
This is not to say that it will go back to the previous levels, no. But it will probably stabilize at the level we are more or less about to achieve.
Yes, and the big decline we had, the first decline to the present levels happened in the last quarter last year, so if in comparison terms they keep the same levels, probably it will be in the last quarter an easy comparison on the registered mail volumes 2015-2016. Regarding working capital, we anticipate that this effect on working capital will fade away and will do not have by the year end this impact, although as we told, this impact was related to have some advantage, some economic advantage of anticipating some payments, given that we have a very strong cash position, given that the cost or the profitability we can get on our cash nowadays is quite low. If we can get financial return from anticipating the payments to some of our suppliers higher than the revenues that we or the income that we get from investing the cash, we can take advantage of some initiatives like that. But this is not a structural increase on working capital. It's basically taking advantage of the current scenario in terms of interest rates and the profitability we can get on our cash.
In terms of Spain, what we are, first, the level of losses this year is much smaller than the one last year. And so we are already having some positive impact of that. You cannot see this in a smooth quarter-by-quarter evolution because of the seasonality effects, among others. August in Spain is a very bad month for economic activity in general, except tourism. And since ever, all companies like ours suffer from that. So you cannot compare third quarter with second quarter. But when you look to the similar quarters, we see a positive trend, not yet at the steepness that we think we'll achieve soon, but we see some direction that is on our right. We think that on reversing the top line evolution, we'll have news this quarter that we are now leaving. And so we'll enter into 2017 with a different situation, but not yet on the black yet. For a guidance on that, we'll have to wait one quarter or two more. And so this is the basic turnaround thing that we are doing. And as I mentioned, we are always looking around for possibilities in terms of consolidation.
Thank you for the color.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Bruno Silva from Bank Portuguese Investment. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one, the message you passed today seems clearly positive on several grounds. I mean, efficiency is accelerating, the new measures being implemented in the ENP offer, the break-even expected for end 2017 and improving interline, and in mail, the fading effect of negative price mix. Altice agreement, I don't know how it is, but a deal could be approaching. You will have easier comps in several areas for next year, and the Postal Bank is ahead of expectations, as far as I understood. So do you believe that we could see decisive growth rates in EBITDA for 2017, high single digit or at least mid single digit? Is that far from reality, or is clearly your base case for now? The second one is regarding your current stock price, and I don't know if you want to make any comment in terms of actions that you could take in the shorter term, apart from the pre-dividend you have announced, at least your proposal, but also in terms of own shares acquisition. And finally, if you don't mind sharing with us, how would you sort from most concerning to less concerning the following issues? like Competition Authority ongoing assessment, the competition in the express and parcels market, future profitability of the Postal Bank, or the ability to keep the dividend growing for the next 5 years. So if you don't mind some color on that, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so answering the last question, and then Andrea will go to the other two. In terms of Competition Authority, we will answer to their how we call it in English, to their note of illicitude. Inside the term that we have to do it, and so early, I think it's in the next 2 weeks, we'll answer to the Competition Authority on that. And what we already know that we will say, and it's based in not only in our conviction, but also on the on the lawyers' long work and detailed work on this front, is that we consider that the allegations are unfounded, particularly given the ever-present willingness of the company to give access to its postal network in non-discriminatory conditions and terms. And I just read what is on our press release in page 23, to be accurate in formal terms. But nevertheless, we have, we believe, good legal basis to argue that what they accused us of does not make sense. We have that without this 2 months work in terms of lawyers. Now we confirm what we believe in the beginning, and then that let's see what are the next steps. In terms of you mentioned competition. In terms of the competition, it didn't change too very much since the last time we discussed it. So we are having a couple of competitors in the mail business, one of them more active than the other. What we see is that, of course, they are attacking us in all our large customers, and so it put pressure on our pricing. Until now, they get some volume, but not too big. And so we don't see any difference there. It's a pressure that we will have to live with, and I think that's part of life now. In the express and parcels, also not a dramatic change. We gain ones and the others gain others, and we are competing properly. We believe that with our new offer, it helps us. We know that it helps us in the competitive front too.
Francisco, probably just to highlight something on here. As Francisco mentioned, in Portugal we have basically the domestic and the international flows, where nowadays we still have that part, or a relevant part of the e-commerce flows still come from international flows or cross-border flows, not the domestic market, which is still underdeveloped compared with other countries. In the domestic market, the work we need to do, more than being afraid or being too much worried about competition, we have a relevant competitor. Apart from that, we feel that the market in the e-commerce is quite... it's quite positive on our side. We need to do, and we are doing, several initiatives to try to develop the domestic market of the e-commerce parcels. On the international front, we have the international integrator, the international players, which will always be the most important players on this market, but we are taking initiatives in Spain with our presence in Spain, and also with our partnership with throughout the EPC, in order to capture more flows coming from abroad, in order to take more advantage of the e-commerce growth that is happening.
In terms of the Postal Bank, the strategy since ever was to capture deposits and then make loans and get the profitability of, or the revenue side of the bank from net interest margin coming from lending and investing in the portfolio of securities, and from commissions coming from
mortgage business and the credit card business and these type of businesses. So the strategic direction didn't change. What changed because of the reality of the interest rate situation is that the bridge until we arrive to that stage of the lending part of the business grows to sizable numbers, it's more difficult to cross because the profitability on the portfolio of securities is zero. But what we are doing is attacking different types of assets that we can put even for temporary areas with reasonable spreads and risks compatible to the ones that we have, and also speeding up what we are doing in the land side, especially, as we mentioned already, the growth in the immediately the growth of the credit card and consumer loan part, which doesn't go to our balance sheet, and so it's just a fee-based business that we are in.
Just Francisco, just in, still on mortgage loans, one of the things, although the market is in terms of interest rates as it is, also it's true that the figures nowadays that we are seeing about new production and new mortgage loans are quite higher than we previously anticipated because the market is becoming a lot more interesting in this business. So the ability of Banco CTT in the future to grow in this market is nowadays probably easier than it was in the recent past because the market is growing faster. So all several things are changing, and what we can tell is that we will adjust and we will adapt the strategy of capturing revenues for the bank with the present market environment. If there is more positive in one side, we'll try to capture that positive outlook.
In terms of the dividend, we have the dividend policy that you know. We just reaffirm it today, and we don't see any reason to change it. Andre, the other two.
Regarding stock prices, I will not comment in our stock prices. We have nowadays basically a dividend yield of 8% with the present stock prices. Regarding the share buyback, it's something that, as we told in the past, we can consider in the future, but we will not tell anything before we decided to go ahead or not. It's something that needs to be taken into account compared with our the liquidity we want to have, our dividend policy, and with the market performance and our strategy. Regarding the EBITDA, if you talk about the EBITDA of next year, we will not give before the beginning of next year any guidance on that. What you said is true. We are seeing several, we are taking several initiatives in order to try to have a stronger or a better performance in our EBITDA that we are having this year. On the cost side, we are quite confident and we control a lot more our cost base than on the revenue side. And as you see this year on the revenue side, not always the revenue go on our direction because we want. We need also to have the market being there and to be able to capture the opportunities that are in the market. So when we come to the year end and we start the next year, we'll give more color on that. By now, what I can tell you is it's what is in our presentation. The third quarter results give us more confidence about the second half of the year performance, mainly on the EBITDA side because it's the two levers going into together, the revenue and the cost side. On the revenue side, since we have already a quite relevant decline compared with last year, and the registered mail or the mix effect, didn't fade away yet, we see that it will be very difficult to achieve what we wanted, which is stable revenue.
Thank you very much. That's perfect.
Take our next question from Nuno Estacio from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Also, three questions, if I may. The first one is In terms of Express and Parcels, we have seen Portugal third quarter being much weaker than the rest of, or not much weaker, but at least weaker than the rest of the year. Revenues are falling more, volumes are also deteriorating versus what we saw in the first half. We understand that your initiatives will have a will likely have a positive impact going forward, but what happened in the first half? Is this competitors being more aggressive? We also, obviously, we know about the clients that you have lost, which was a relevant client, but it seems more things are happening there. If you could explain us, please. The second question would be related to understanding a little bit better cash flow, because if we exclude the Postal Bank, your cash flow in the first 9 months is actually declining by 30 million euros year on year. You have mentioned the possibility that you would still keep investing to get discounts from your suppliers. But do you feel comfortable with this evolution of cash flow? Can you give us any indications? Do you expect a significant improvement in fourth quarter or not? And the final question would be related to the to fourth quarter and to your guidance in terms of EBITDA. You said it's challenging, but do you have, can you give us any quantifications, what level of mail volume you would have, it would need to happen in fourth quarter so that you would not reach your target in terms of EBITDA being positive for the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. I will start with Express and Parcel volumes and revenues. Third quarter in Express and Parcel is always the worst quarter of the year. In Spain, it's even worse than that, because in Spain, as Francisco mentioned, most of the activity stops. Having some of the relevant clients wanting out, the effect of that is seen more in the months of the summer than it's seen in the months where the business is more active, because the other ones are also performing better. So the third quarter is not an indication that things are better or worse regarding the Express and Parcel performance. It's just it's the weaker month or the weaker quarter of the year. The fourth quarter will be very important in Express and Parcel business, because it's the Christmas season, and it's the season where all the activity normally grows. So regarding the third quarter, what I can tell is that it's no relevant information about that. What can I tell you? If you recall that normally in the last quarter is when you have the Black Friday and those kind of events, it's where the big activity in the Express and Parcels will be felt, namely coming from the e-commerce parcels. Regarding the cash flow year on year, first of all, one of the effects we are having this year is that we received some of the revenues for these 2 years last year. The best example I give you, we received in July last year 15 million euros from the Altice agreement, which was accounted for 18 months. So we received the full money last year, but the benefits of that money was accounted for 18 months. So one of the effects is that we had some anticipated income coming last year, and this year don't have that. Regarding the cash flow of the company, of the working capital of the company, we expect by the end probably this effect will fade away or will disappear, because we do not anticipate to continue to have opportunities to take some financial advantage of some anticipation of payments. But if they come, we'll consider it, because as I told you and answering to your question, we are quite comfortable about our cash position. We continue to have a very solid and strong liquidity and cash position. So we feel that the opportunity to take advantage of our cash position in order to increase or to reduce our costs, if we are able to negotiate better conditions with our suppliers, if we pay anticipated, it's good. Because one of the things, if you look at our accounts, is that the revenues that we get from investing the cash we have, it's quite low. Why? Because the interest that we get from investing the cash which, as you know, it's fully invested in deposits, it's quite low nowadays. So the opportunity to use that cash to take other advantage, namely anticipating payments, is something that we'll always consider. So we don't see any worsening in our working capital. We probably will see an improvement by the year-end, but it's something that nowadays doesn't worry us because of this that I explained. Regarding the last point, you need to take into account that in these next years, we are investing more in CapEx because of the bank, but in CapEx because of the bank, even in CTT, because we are refurbishing our branches in order to have the bank inside of it. We are doing an upgrade on our IT platform. As you see in our press release, we are doing what we call the strategic plan of the information systems, which will make us invest more than we used to invest in the last years, but in line with our guidance of the €20 million each year for the CapEx needs. Last point regarding last quarter of the year. We cannot give any specific data about the performance of each business unit in order in last quarter to reach our goals. What can I tell you is it will be the result of several things. First of all, on the revenue side, as you said, we will have on the mail business, we will have the last quarter, which is important, and probably an easier comparable with last year, because the registered mail last year in the last quarter was already lower than we had in the rest of the 2015. On the parcel business, it's the last quarter, it's very important because of all the Christmas effects and all the Christmas volumes that we have. In the financial services, you are seeing the results or the difference from last year fading away. This, in the revenue side, put together with the efficiency measures and the cost-saving measures that we are enacting on our cost base in order to try to achieve our goals, it will make us reach or not our target or our guidance that we gave. But it's not only on the revenue side, it's a mix of several initiatives that we are putting in place. As Francisco mentioned, and it's in our outlook, it continues to be quite challenging, but the numbers and the results we achieved by the end of third quarter give us confidence that it is achievable.
Perfect. Can I just ask for a clarification? In Express and Parcels, you say that there's break-even expected for fourth quarter 17 in Spain, but you mentioned the organic option is also a possibility. The inorganic, sorry. Is inorganic including, for example, you buying someone, or it would be just joining your business with someone else or selling it? Thank you.
At this stage, all options are open.
Okay, but in the past you have said that you would not invest, you would not acquire anyone if you were not still profitable. Does this still hold or not?
What I said was that first we have to be sure that we are able to manage our own place, and then we'll consider other things. And that worded, like I said, it still holds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andy Jones from Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks. Just a couple of questions from me. Firstly, on the Altice revenue of, I think it's €10 million this year, if you were in my seat, would you be taking that out of the revenue for next year, or do you think there's still a good chance that that could be replaced with something else? And secondly, just listening to your commentary on the speed of the postal bank rollout, do you think it's feasible that the operating losses in 17 could be higher than you incurred in 16? And kind of as a derivative on that, is break-even in 2018 still the base case for you? Thank you.
Yeah, comment. Regarding the Altice agreement, €10 million you should take out from the from our figures. What you should put in place, it's the question that you need to take to do your best guessing or put a figure in terms of expectations. What we can tell you is that at least some of the initiatives, probably not all, but some of the initiatives that we had in the agreement with Altice, without Altice, we believe that we'll pursue them with another partner or with another or alone. One of them, it's in, as Francisco presented in his slide about the express and parcel strategy, is that we want to promote the growth of the domestic market. The e-commerce in a box initiative, we believe it makes sense and it should be pursued. We saw in other countries, other peers or our peers in other countries pursuing similar initiatives with positive results. The other one, it's what we call the opportunity to use our retail network to sell in a more aggressive way or in a better way telecom products or the four-play offer of telecom players. We believe it's a good fit in terms of network. Our network is fitable to sell these products. We also saw in other countries some of our peers having successful initiatives in developing or growing in telecom sales in their networks. So what can I tell you? The 10 million probably will not exist for next year with the Altice agreement, but we are developing initiatives to get alone or together with some partners in order to put in place some of the JVs that we have behind this agreement with Altice. Regarding Banco CTT, the question was regarding the
operating losses in 2000.
Operating losses. We do not expect that the operating losses will grow for next year. You need to take into account that some of the relevant operating costs of the bank were related with the startup and with the development of the bank, which some will be reduced, but other of them, the bank is nowadays in with the structure that we expect. Regarding the break-even by 2018, as we told you, we will adapt the strategy of the bank along with the market environment. As I told you, the environment for consumer, for credit and for mortgage loans is quite better than we anticipated when we built the business plan of the bank. But on the other way around, the interest rates are worse than we anticipated. So the revenues we can get from investing, the deposits we get, it's lower. It's too soon to say if 2018 it's the date, but we believe that it will be around that we'll be able to reach some or the level of break even before the share cost.
Okay, thank you. And just on the 17 losses versus the 16 losses, that is referring to recurring operating loss from Banco CTT, not the non-recurring.
We do not expect the losses to grow next year.
On a recurring basis?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Mattia Gergolet from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. One of my questions actually has already been answered. I just had a quick follow-up on the Altice revenues. Could you just remind us what is the split on a divisional basis for these 10 million? How much is in mail, parcels, and financial services? That's all for
one
me.
One third. Split equal by the three business units.
Okay.
Because we have initiatives in all business units.
Okay, no, that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue. At this time, I'll turn the program back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. And nothing to add. Thank you for your continued interest. And we hope to be with you again in the end of the year. Or after the end of the year, with a positive
quarter and or a full year behind us, but let's work for it to happen. In the last page of the presentation, you have the upcoming events where we will be during next week and also some in December. But in next week, we'll have a busy agenda, both Peter with Andrea and myself, depending on the cases. Bye-bye. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.